We'll find this young reader with his nose buried in a volume of the World Book Encyclopedia. Let's say he happened to pull N off the shelf this time, and that he's paged past the entry for the National Park Service, landed on Sir Isaac Newton, and bounced on to page 329 to learn about Florence Nightingale, Nightmares, and the last listing on the page, Nightshade. There he reads, "Nightshade is the common name of a family of plants, also known as the potato family. The nightshades include herbs, shrubs, and tropical trees. They grow most abundantly in warm regions. Among the more than 2,000 members of this family are such useful plants as the potato, tomato, ground cherry, red pepper, and eggplant. The family includes poisonous plants like belladonna, deadly nightshade, stramonium, and bittersweet. The tobacco plant and the petunia are also members of the nightshade family." That from an article on nightshade by George Lawrence in the World Book Encyclopedia that our young Raymond Hammond might have come across when he was reading through these volumes as a lad near Roanoke. And what a fine assortment of words for a fellow who would go on to write poetry and to publish poetry. Words that rhyme. Tomato, potato, lots of alliteration, tropical trees and poisonous plants, and words that simply dance. Belladonna, belladonna. As it happens, when she was young, she would go out to the kitchen patch and pick fruits and vegetables, tomatoes from the nightshade family, you can be sure, while under Nanny's guidance, they would prepare to can. They would chop, peel, stir, skim the dross, cook down, and oh, those wonderful words once again. Chow chow, confettied red, and piccalilli, summer light for a February table. A line from a poem titled The Harvest by Karen Blomain, a beautiful writer and artist who is no longer with us. But it was Karen Blomain, then a professor at Keystone College here in La Plume, and one of the first poets published by Nightshade Press, who arranged for Keystone College to purchase the press that was founded in 1989 in Maine, having published over 75 poetry and prose titles. And it is now Raymond Hammond who is overseeing the reintroduction of Nightshade Press at Keystone after its temporary hiatus in 2010. The gathering is an annual summer conference on creativity and the imagination held at Keystone, and Nightshade Press introduced its first book release since that hiatus, and that was at the gathering at Keystone this summer, titled Transient by Gail Carson Levine, with the official release event in September. There will be a release party for Nightshade's second selection, Down the Dog Hole, 11 Poets on Northeast Pennsylvania, this Friday, October 14th, at Library Express at the Marketplace at Steamtown in Scranton. Raymond Hammond, a poet and critic, originally from Virginia, now lives here in Factoryville, where he serves as editor-in-chief of the New York Quarterly Foundation and is overseeing Nightshade and Keystone College Press. We had a chance to have a visit from Raymond Hammond, who fills us in.
Coincidentally, somewhat ironically, as the editor of the New York Quarterly, I was asked to assume two books. One was Joe Weil and one was Tony Medina, who had been published through Nightshade through Keystone. And when Nightshade originally went on hiatus, they asked me to take over their books, which I did. And that was the first I ever heard of Nightshade at that point. I had heard of them before, but I wasn't that familiar with them. And then my wife wound up getting a job at Keystone and coming here, and we started working on the gathering committee. And as a part of the gathering committee, the president, Dr. Coppola of Keystone, said that he would like maybe a 10-year anniversary book, because the 10-year anniversary was coming up. And now, I had been teaching there for a couple semesters just as an adjunct instructor, and I volunteered. I said, well, I can do something because I run the New York Quarterly. And I started NYQ Books back in 2009. We've got over 106 titles in publication. So I'm pretty adept at doing it. So let's see if we can give it a go. So we met, and we started talking about it, and Nightshade really is just a lovely imprint of a book. It always has been. It came to Keystone from Troy, Maine, back in 2003. Karen Blow, Maine, brought it to Keystone. And she was one of the first poets published by Nightshade back in the early 90s, because it started in 1989 in Troy, Maine, by Carolyn Page and Roy Zarucci. So when I initially met with Dr. Coppola, he wanted to do certain things, and I said, well, that doesn't necessarily fit the editorial voice of Nightshade. So let's do two things. And he immediately agreed. He recognized that we could do some things with Keystone College Press, and then under that umbrella, Nightshade, and maintain the literary voice that has been there since 1989. So I set out to kind of research that voice and to see what we could do to maintain that voice.
And what did you find then?
Well, it's not really that much of a coincidence, looking back now, retrospectively, that we took over those two poets back in 2010, I think it was, because the voice is very similar to the New York Quarterly voice. Maybe not quite as edgy as the New York Quarterly. The New York Quarterly has a reputation for being very bohemian, very edgy. But they're still the voice of not the disenfranchised, although it includes the disenfranchised, but it's those that are not necessarily in academia or full-time poets or even schooled necessarily in poetry. It's people who are the Steppenwolves of the poetry world. And I've really found that the voice is just not quite as edgy as New York Quarterly, but it's still very similar. And when we needed to come up with our first poet to publish, who is Gail Carson Levine, that was no accident either, because I was talking to Suzanne Fisher Staples, who has been a big supporter of this resurgence from she was at the first meeting with the president along with Charlotte Ravioli, both been big supporters. And I was talking to Suzanne and she goes, well, I have a friend, Gail Carson Levine. And I said, why does that name sound familiar? And it turns out that I had published her in New York Quarterly, and I actually remembered her poem. Now, I say actually remembered her poem because some people will find this maybe offensive, but when you're a poetry editor, you read a lot of poems. And some poems you just remember stand out, and this one did. And I found out she was very connected to Keystone, very connected to the Gathering. So I remember I had left a message for Suzanne to call me, and I had spoken with Gail, and she called me back. I was in the car driving into Clark Summit on Route 6, and I'm like, I found our poet, Gail Carson Levine, and we went from there.
What's her sensibility as a writer?
As a poet, I found her manuscript to be very much like the poem I had accepted for New York Quarterly, in that it has a very apparent, almost soft appearance to it. But then all of a sudden it hits you. It's like, bam, a 2x4 upside the head. And once you get that, it's like riding a bike. You could read a number of her poems and go, wow, these are nice poems. Which is not a very good thing to say about a poem, to say it's nice. But you could say, these are nice poems. But then when you really dig into them and think about them, and you're going, wow, that was fantastic. And her poetry, I just love that fact about her poems.
In the course of this aha moment, we've got Gail Carson Levine, and it's going to be our first. What were the hurdles of restarting when you have to breathe life into something again? Was that tricky?
Well, actually, I had done it before with the New York Quarterly because Bill, William Packard, I've always called him Bill, towards the end of his life, things kind of had gone by the wayside and the magazine had stopped publishing. and we breathed life back into the New York Quarterly to get it going. And he saw the resurgence issue of the New York Quarterly the day before he died. And we know that because he died, and then that Monday, the managing editor received a note saying how much he liked the issue. So he saw the New York Quarterly come back, and we've kept it going in one form or another. Currently, we're just focusing on books. We want to get back to the magazine, but currently we're focusing on books. So I've had to come in and do what I call forensic editing before, and that's exactly what I did with Nightshade, was come in and just start from the beginning where you would normally build things and make sure everything had been done along the way. You know, simple things like getting access to the ISBN list, finding out how many ISBNs were left that we could use, getting the budgetary matters taken care of, you know, those sorts of things.
Clearly, you have some affection for books themselves, or you wouldn't have been doing what you've been doing these years.
I've always had an affection for books. Ever since I would hide under my father's desk and read the World Book Encyclopedia by flashlight, I just loved the look and the feel of the books, and always loved books. And then Dr. Coppola feels the exact same way. He feels the exact same way, and we talked about this at length because we talked about ebooks, you know, digital versions, et cetera, et cetera. And we both agreed that we love the book, the form of the book, the feel of the book, the look of things on the page. And that's where we are right now, producing books. We'll probably move into ebooks at some point, but we will always be with the print books.
You have to have a sense of the playing field in which you're operating and reviving things and continuing. You're not being like Don Quixote tilting at windmills. You see this as a path that is legitimate in 2016, 2017, to go with the emphasis on books as items.
Yes, because what we found is books, especially poetry, poetry's rather unique how it sells. And what I found at both New York Quarterly and at Nightshade is that most people will buy books at readings. Most people will not pick up a book of poetry unless they know who wrote it or know something about it. Now, one way to do that is to have a brand like NYQ Books or Nightshade. And so you can count on picking up another NYQ book or another Nightshade book and it being relatively similar in some fashion. But the other thing that's made this a very viable option in 2016, 2017 is print on demand, because you no longer have to print hundreds of copies and have them on hand. So you don't have to pay for the printing, you don't have to pay for the storage, you don't have to pay for the shipping. So the cost has been drastically reduced, which allows for the proliferation still yet of paper books.
And you have on the October calendar an event that will bring to us a number of poets whom we may know, but under a wonderful title. Tell us about the genesis of Down the Doghole.
Well, we wanted to release Gail's book at the gathering, which we did this past summer. And that was more of a soft release. We wanted to do a more active release of the presses and the books come fall when the students were around. Because one focus that Dr. Coppola and I both have is to have the presses be very student-focused and have student involvement. So we saved the big release for September 22nd, that was our big ribbon-cutting party, but our Scranton release will be of Down the Doghole, which is an anthology, and we wanted something for this secondary release, this Scranton release, and so we decided what better way to introduce Nightshade to the local community once again, but by doing an anthology of local poets, and that's exactly what we did. So Tom Blumane and Brian Finelli volunteered to edit the book, and they pulled together 11 poets from the area, northeastern Pennsylvania area, and put together a wonderful book of basically northeastern Pennsylvania poetry. Some environmental, some weather-related, social, that sort of thing. Cultural. Basically cultural.
If anyone lives here or has spent much time here, we know one of the meanings of dog hole refers to a coal mine. It's a coal mining term, as well as just having Fido going out into the backyard and digging up the petunias.
Right. One of the things that I started hearing about when we moved to the area, my wife and I moved to the area, was Uncle So-and-so would have a hole in his garage and we would go down into the coal mines and steal coal. And I was like, yeah, right. That's an unbelievable story. And then I heard it again, and then I heard it again, and then I heard it again. And then Tom Blomain had a poem where he called it a dog hole. And I said, is that what I think it is? Is that? He goes, yeah. And I said, I knew there had to be a name for it since I keep hearing about this idea, this concept. And I was so fascinated by it. So we were sitting there trying to come up with a title, the three of us. And I said, even though the book is not like an environmental activist book, it's more of just a cultural northeastern Pennsylvania book. I said, you know, instead of down the rabbit hole, how about if we go down the dog hole? And Tom looked at me and said, that's it. That's it. That's the title right there. And we agreed we wanted a sketch of a dog going down a hole to be a play on words. And I contacted Michaela Lewis, who is a wonderful artist at Keystone, student artist at Keystone, on a Friday. And by Sunday, she sent me this sketch and said, I hope it's okay. This is my own dog. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect, and we made it into the cover of Down the Dog Hole. And it's so indicative of the area and so unique to the area. And so just thinking of it as an immersion for the reader into the northeastern Pennsylvania area.
What will take place then on the 14th, and where will it be?
At Library Express, Friday, October the 14th at 6 p.m. The library is going to be providing some food, and we're going to have a reading by a number of the poets. It won't be all 11 of them. We think it will be 9 or 10 of them. I know one person's out of town that day, but we'll have as many as we can. And we'll have the books there, and all the proceeds will be going to Library Express. The books are being donated by Keystone College.
Now, we've talked about Nightshade Press. What's the vision for Keystone Press?
Well, Keystone College Press, the vision is to have a more academic press, but we use the idea of academic a little loosely, not in quality, but in substance. So the first book we have done by Keystone College Press was The Gathering 10-Year Anniversary. So it's a history book of the gathering, and it includes a lot of passages and interviews by authors such as Salman Rushdie and Sharon Olds and things of that nature. So it's a very rich book. It is not for sale. It was given out at the gathering, and the agreements with a lot of the contributors, we just couldn't make it for sale. But this is the result of Christina Sinibaldi's senior capstone project. She spent a year researching and developing this book, laying it out, contacting the authors, and putting the entire project together. So this follows that student involvement that we want to get into. And Allie Smith was the work study who did a lot of the research for Christina. And then we also involved David Porter's graphic design class, and Ashley Purdy's design for the logo was selected. So the book was used for the entire semester in the graphic design class.
Will this be on a project basis then that students will be involved, or will there be semester-long classes or term-length classes in book publishing or book editing?
Well, we hope to develop some classes, but right now we have another senior student working currently on her capstone project, developing a book of poems. And we have interns on a regular basis who are working on a project-by-project basis.
Do you have a space on the campus now? Is there a publishing office?
There is. We actually have a very nice space that fits three of us. So we have space for myself, the intern, and the work study, and then the capstone student when she comes. And it's in the Kelch House, which was for the art department, but they moved part of the art department out, left part of them there, and gave us part of that space, which is nice.
What are the submission possibilities for all of these presses that you're overseeing?
Well, right now with the New York Quarterly, it's invitation only. We have so many authors that we're already familiar with that's what we use as our first criteria, to have been published in the journal itself. With Nightshade, we're doing invitation only right now. We don't know exactly how we're going to open that up. It's not going to be through contests or anything like that, but we have some ideas coming down the pike, and we're in talks with several people. And we're only looking to do a couple books a year for each press. And then one thing we've done with the advisory board is we've built the advisory board around Northeastern Pennsylvania colleges and universities. So we have a number of faculty from other colleges and universities on our advisory board, and they are there to look out for people who may have something to publish for the academic arm, the Keystone College Press.
So there's quite a literary landscape here.
Northeastern Pennsylvania is such a rich area in its literary activity. Another person that you've interviewed, Okla Elliott, has moved into the area, and he brings with him New American Press, just as I brought New York Quarterly, and he is on the board of Nightshade, and he has been published himself by the New York Quarterly. You know, and he just started a reading series in Wilkes-Barre. So it's just all cross-generating.
Raymond Hammond, editor-in-chief of the New York Quarterly Foundation, who is overseeing and developing Nightshade Press and Keystone College Press at Keystone College in La Plume, speaking with us in anticipation of the release party this Friday, October 14th, for Nightshade's second publication in its new series, Down the Dog Hole, 11 Poets on Northeast Pennsylvania. And that's at 6 o'clock in the evening at Library Express at the Marketplace at Steamtown in Scranton. For more information, on the web, keystone.edu, keystone.edu. Nightshade Press, holding a Scranton release party for its publication, Down the Dog Hole, 11 Poets on Northeast Pennsylvania, this Friday, October 14th at 6 in the evening at Library Express at the Marketplace at Steamtown. For more information, on the web, keystone.edu, keystone.edu. You can join them this Friday, October 14th at Library Express at the Marketplace at Steamtown, and that's at 6 in the evening. For more information, on the web, keystone.edu, keystone.edu.